As always, my report's there. I always welcome any questions, and then if there's none, all of those.
Hey, I have a question.
Yes.
Kind of show off that I have written. Anyway, on the first page, unit 20.
Yes, sir.
Medic 12-hour car. Medic 12-hour car. Right now it's 24, correct?
Correct. I will make a note of that.
And then with regards to fuel cards, you were working on obtaining fuel cards so you could take advantage of the lower fuel price.
From mobile, but they want an even higher now deposit because of fuel costs going up. So I haven't pursued that because the deposit was originally a minimum of $500, which we supersede $500 in a less than 2 week period with cost as a deposit. So we would to be able to use that card, we would have to basically make an extra payment a month. So we pay about $2,700 to $2,800 to Sinclair to be able to make the, because it's through WEX company, to be able to make that mobile card.
Okay, well, this, let me ask you, do you know what the rate per gallon of regular gas is that you're paying, the district's paying?
I could look it up.
Sinclair?
Yeah, I could look it up for you right now and tell you. It varies on the day-to-day, but I can tell you.
But you're giving us a discount?
Mobile offers a discount. But because we have a Chevron card and a Sinclair card, they want a deposit. The only way to make the deposit worthwhile for us, what we would have to do is basically make a big enough payment to make the deposit work. Right now, like I said, we pay about $2,700, so we'd have to make like a $2,000 payment.
Okay, well, I'll tell you this much. Regular gas at mobile has been $5. With the mobile car.
Right.
$5.39 a gallon.
Okay.
Right. That's about, well, it's over a dollar cheaper than here in Cambria. And as long as Sinclair is giving you approximately that amount, then it's no big deal.
Yeah, we only have one vehicle that runs on gasoline. All the other vehicles in the fleet all run on diesel.
That's worse.
Yeah, so I don't know what's
a lot more.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is on diesel either, but to get that card to work the way that we would want it to, like I said, it would be an additional, we'd have to come up with a $2,000 basically line of credit to open that secure account.
Okay. Then I guess we should just drop that. As long as you're satisfied that we're getting the best deal we can.
And the crews, I've gone over with the crews over and over again about getting fuel in Cambria. But unfortunately, when we have dry runs up the coast and that, we don't have any choice.
Yeah. But well, you have a choice, but you don't want that.
Yeah. No. Actually, the Sinclair cards don't work at Florida.
That's good.
Yeah.
Kim, I noticed, and I don't this is a memory refresher for me, if you don't mind. When we decided to go to the 24-hour card.
Yes.
And this was a 6 month, we were going to over 6 months see how that worked out. Will we have any interim reporting?
Yes, that's the 3 month period.
3 month? Okay, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that's 3 month period. Pressure. We will have a reporting. Yes. I will bring back on how many shifts we've had to cover full timers versus part timers and stuff, that information. And then in Mike's report, he's actually got some information about the payroll and stuff like that, which you guys, I think, will be pleased with. I'm not going to say extremely pleased with, but pleased with.
Alrighty then.
So a couple of the other things, I haven't heard back on Unit 22, which is the one from Leader or from Red Sky yet. Mm-hmm. I know that that's on everybody's radar. And we also assisted in the mobile vaccine clinic with the county. 133 vaccines were given. They actually ran out of vaccines.
Wow.
So they were able to get everybody that was there, and then a couple people came in towards the end, but they didn't have enough. They didn't anticipate having that much, and it's one of the biggest turnouts the county's ever had.
Good.
So,
When might they be back?
I actually just emailed them right at the start of the meeting, waiting to find out.
So Unit 22, when did we originally expect it? I know it's in fiscal year.
It's in fiscal year 2022, 2023, but probably not until around September or October.
Of this year.
Of this year.
Ooh, okay.
But we have to.
And like I just noticed, or I said to Simone, we're on our last payment for unit 18.
Correct.
And that's where we then pick up with unit 22.
Correct. Well, we don't have the full amount, so we'll have to finance it. So I'm trying to make
sure. Right, no, I understand. Yeah.
But we won't have two payments.
Right, we did that on purpose to make sure we weren't tripling up.
Right. And so we collected enough money, and now that money has been transferred to a trust account into the operating account and sent off for use for ambulance payments.
Correct.
Just as we did with that. Now, so, all right, so then, let's see, that payment was close to $8,000. So we have collected enough money to make five quarterly payments.
On the new ambulance. On the new ambulance.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's the reason for reaching out to find out when to try and get a set date. Because we'll have to set up financing prior to taking delivery. And I don't want them to, I don't want the ambulance to be sitting in LA waiting for us to work on financing at the last minute. Sometimes
I was curious, Tim, about your report about medications on back order. I mean, every time I turn around, there's like something else isn't here for supply chain. There's so many problems. Are they, is it terribly problematic? Are they important meds?
Yes. The last one that we had the major problem with was Epi 1 10,000, which is a cardiac medication. Mm-hmm. And it was in such bad back order that the FDA actually allotted certain lots to be held over.
Meaning the expiration date were allowed to.
Was given a 6 month extension. Part of that problem, believe it or not, is there's only two companies that make Epi in the continental United States and allowed to sell. And one of them happens to be Pfizer, who's also making all the other stuff. So that is slowly being rectified. We were able to get some of our medications in, but now the new one is glucagon, which is a really expensive one, super expensive one. We don't use it a lot, but it's now on back order.
So that's a diabetic shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. The good news is that we've planned ahead, so we should be okay with that. Epi is one that we can't plan for because we don't know how many times we're going to have to use it and how much we're going to use it.
That's worse.
Any other questions?
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
On the delays for the 1st of March, I was just curious what I read it, and I think I understand it, but just give me a little bit more information about what that really meant.
So when the unit was trying to get a hold of MedCom on that one, there was a lot of radio traffic, and MedCom location this our crew's going 97 because MedCom room is basically
who's going 97.
When the unit gets on scene, they go 97. If the dispatcher is on the phone doing one call, talking to a friend or something like that, they don't always hear them. Mm-hmm. And so you can go back and look and see that they are transporting at the same time they're on scene. And it's because MedCom didn't copy them. So there's usually 4 to 6 dispatchers in a room dispatching for us, Sheriff's Department, Morro Bay PD, Grover Beach PD, or Grandy PD. And I think there's one other department that they transport that they talk
and
to.
Is that interaction with dispatch one that confirms where they're taking the patient and that they are free to go there? Or is it that's what
kind yeah, of so the they, well, no, what kind, yeah, it could be any one of those things, mm-hmm. everything. Just, basically, all the ambulances in the county talk to one person at one time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's two dispatchers on, and they try to help each other out. But if it's really busy or there's something going on that requires a lot more attention, the dispatchers miss it. They have a replay button that they can replay, but it also depends on the crew members. If the crew members don't speak clearly and it sounds horrible and like chicken scratch, then there's absolutely nothing they can do. They just don't hear it. Mm-hmm.
But technically it wasn't 30 minutes.
No.
It shows us 30 minutes.
It shows us 30 minutes. Everything on our logs, like if you went and pulled the computer run report, it shows that it's 30 minutes because MedCom doesn't have the ability to go back and change the time. Mm-hmm. It's a real time button that they have to push and they can't reset it. So if they, when they hear you and they push the button, that's the timestamp. They don't have the ability.
So we run the scene. It just wasn't recorded that way.
Okay. But if you look at their logs, it looks like it took forever for us to get there.
Okay, thanks. Mm-hmm. The Hearst Castle thing was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So they're closing their fire department?
Yes. The three firefighters that are currently at the castle are all retiring within the next 3 months, 3 to 4 months. And Hearst Castle and the state parks does not have a replacement plan for them. Best guess is they might put a Cal Fire rig up there, but that's even up in the air at this point. I talked to Cindy at the castle, and apparently the docents are being taught after opening that they're to leave the person where they are and call 911 and wait for the ambulance to show up. In the past, the fire department would move them into a private room. They'd do an assessment. And if not needed, they would cancel the ambulance. You know, if it was somebody who just needed to drink some water, catch their breath, you know, rest for a few minutes. So that's going to probably increase our calls in the summer, especially since Hearst Castle has been closed for 2 years, and everybody's chomping to go to the castle.
Kim, how fast can you get up to Hearst Castle?
It takes about 35 minutes to get up to the top of the castle.
Mm-hmm. Is there anyone to talk to about this? It just seems like a really bad idea.
Yeah.
It is a really bad idea. Cindy and I have been talking, and we're trying to figure out something.
Yeah.
State Parks is putting some of their rangers through EMT school, so there's a chance that they may actually convert some of the rangers to EMTs and have them on the hilltop to help out with medical aids, just like the fire department. So they'll have gear, they just won't have a fire truck.
Yeah.
But that's still in the fledgling stages. And unfortunately, in the space, nothing works really fast.
Sounds like something we'd like to hear more next time about how that's progressing.
Just updated.
We do have training coming up too in the first week, hopefully the first week of May, which we'll be working with Mercy Air, because there is a helipad at Hearst Castle. So we'll be working with them also, because it'll be faster for them to fly somebody off the hill if needed, versus us transporting, was a true cardiac event or something like that.
So, but you would have to go and assess?
Yeah. That's
actually, no, that's the benefit with Mercy. If they beat us to the hilltop, which I think their flight time, when I talked to Lisa, I think it's 28 minutes. So they might actually beat us to the hilltop, and they can actually go in and assess the patient. They have a gurney, they can move the patient and then fly before we even get there.
So would they consider that a dry run if it's somebody who just got a little faint?
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't be charged?
They would not be charged, no.
Okay.
Mercy doesn't charge for dry runs. We also have CalSTAR 5 out of Salinas, CalSTAR 7 out of Mercy, and we also have H-70. H-70 doesn't charge if they transport, because they're a government agency.
Where are they located?
Paso, right next to Mercy Air, actually. The last, I think it was 2019, 2020, they came up with a plan right before the pandemic, where actually they launched along the coast in some areas, they'll launch both helicopters. H-70 is what they call a rescue ship, because it has a hoist and a bowman bag and capability to pick somebody up in the forest and bring them back. So they'll launch that, and they'll fly and do the rescue, and then Mercy will actually transport.
Right. Any other questions for Tim? Okay. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you.
And Mike, you're up.
Last report.
Yes, I was going to say maybe the beginning of the report for all these members of the public that are here, that we are delighted for Mike that he has accepted a position to run a fire department, right?
Yeah.
In an area of East Texas that's very close to his family, and he and his wife will be relocating there, and his last day will be May 15th, which is coming right up.
No.
Yeah, you're going to work all the way to that Sunday. Yeah.
No, maybe. Anyway. I also have to find out it's quite the drive to get out there. So it takes a couple of days to drive through.
Yeah.
But, I'm thank you very much. It's been an exciting time here in history, and I've learned a great deal that is carrying me forward to my new position, because it's also a special district, Emergency Services District, and they do fire. They have 11 fire stations that cover about 70% of that county. So, but it's the same job, just a slightly different mission, but it's exciting. I'm looking forward to it.
It is. We're very happy for you.
Bittersweet.
Congratulations.
Love Cambria and its people. Sad to see us leave, but looking forward to the future.
Which county in Texas?
Smith County, Texas, northeastern corner here. Tyler is the county seat, and that's the big town. That's where the Walmart and everything is. So that's always important. Where's the Walmart? But yeah, Tyler's right in the middle of the county. It's basically our district covers the donut around Tyler. It's the surrounding county area. Very rural, much like this. About half the fire stations are all volunteer. Mm. Well, thank you. You have my report in your packet. There's some updates on COVID. We're moving apparently in the right direction. The numbers are trending in a favorable way for our community. There's still some cases out there, but less and less as time goes on. These restrictions have been lifted at this point, so we're doing well there. There was a note as far as Tim alluded to the recent vaccine clinic, which was enormous success. I think it was 133 people, which kind of blew us away. But there was a line going around our parking lot waiting to get in. Mm. It was pretty. I was going to take a picture, then I remembered that it was probably a HIPAA violation. But now better not, you know. But it was
Sam helped you remember.
Yes, he did. He does that a lot. You know. So that was good, but the one little note, the Morro Bay pharmacy has ceased to be. They have closed down. Rite Aid basically bought them out, and Rite Aid will now be providing the vaccinations. Mm-hmm. So Morro Bay still has a vaccine site. But
it was super abrupt. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a rather sudden announcement.
Yeah.
Like people showed up at the store to get their prescriptions, and there was a note on the door, but let's go to Rite Aid.
Yeah, that's what happened.
It was interesting. The trust is doing well. We continue to receive some donations, slow down a bit. And as of the 20th, we've had the donation total was almost $42,000. So it brought up our balance to $42,235. However, in this month, we transferred $40,000 to our general fund, earmarked for ambulance return. Good news, so it was just overall, revenue is increasing, that's trending up. We were over budget on our revenue, total revenue, by almost $34,000. Thanks in large part to Simone's efforts. Very diligent in billing. Tax revenue was slightly over budget, but we're kind of expecting that. Things are getting back to normal as far as people paying their taxes and so forth. So the money flow is improving, not like we saw in the fall. Monterey has been very busy, so we got quite a bit more than we budgeted, which is good news for revenue. And then labor costs were below budget, almost $13,000, and it appears to be, it's a little early to say this for sure, but it appears to be related to Tim's private project. It's starting to bear fruit already, but we'll wait and see when he does his 3-month report if that trend continues, but it's a good step in the right direction. We had a little bit of a over budget on PERS expense. The unfunded liability continues to vary from the state, and that hit us a little bit. And then we did use some part-timers in March, worked some overtime, who are on PERS. Some of our part-timers are not, some are. The ones that are on PERS, that impacts our PERS expense. So that's kind of a little hard to predict. We had to adjust one of the retirees' health allowance, so that popped us over budget on retiree health, but that adjustment's been made, so that'll flatten out. Utilities went up a little just slightly, but that's because we're now paying for CHC's area, where they used to pay for those utilities. Mm-hmm. Let's see what else of significance that I can see on here. Project Outreach Committee, we did some things for that. There's a lot of outreach going on for the various projects that they're working on. And then we had some miscellaneous expenses, the big one being the QAF fee, which we were familiar with as well. Any questions on that report?
I don't know if now's the time or not, but we did meet with Sherrington about this famous Green Bar report and sort of how we might handle that going forward. And Bill, I don't know if you want to opine about whether this is a format that we're going to see in the future.
We will see this format, the Green Bar format, through the end of this year. So we'll see it for a couple more months. But starting July 1st, we will be using the QuickBooks monthly reports, which provide similar information that the Green Bar reports. What we're going to do probably in the July meeting or maybe August meeting is to spend time at this meeting going through the new reports, the new look, what they are, and maybe doing a walk across from what you're used to seeing on this report is really on this report, kind of a bit different look, more detailed if anything.
Something new to get used to.
Yes.
It was also, I think, part of our conversation that her name is Sherry, right?
Yes.
It makes Sherry from Sherrington.
Well, Sherry Herring, right?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Sherry Herring.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Now I know. You know, because we will probably lean on her a little bit more than we have been, but my recollection is she was willing to participate in these meetings, which I think will be super, and answer questions about the reports, et cetera. So
one of the big advantages that Bill and I have discussed at length, and Sherry, is the what I call traditional reports that you've seen in your board packets all are static. You know, the minute I print them, they're frozen in time until the next month as far as what you see. The QuickBooks is it's an online cloud format, and Bill actually now has access to that, and so it's live. And he could log on right now and see what's going on right now. And if it changes in 10 minutes, he'll see the change. So it's nice to have that fresh to the minute reporting that you know, if he has questions or the administrator has questions or anybody, we can get, you know, up-to-date information kind of, you know, that's going to be a big advantage.
Yeah. I think that the hardest shift for me and probably all of you too will be the shift from cash to accrual. Because we're so accustomed to thinking about things in terms of the cash-based accounting system, and it really is. We'll see, but it's a big change.
Holy
cow,
we're
going to
get into the 20th
century. 20th century is coming for the district. We're going to be grown up.
A seminar on rural accounting.
And the toughest one to deal with is ambulance revenues. You can believe it.
Yeah. Accruing for revenue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you have to have expected reimbursement calculation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll walk through that and we'll see what we're trying to mitigate.
Exciting. Any other questions for Mike?
Well, again, thank you all. And
let me think about it. This would be your last meeting.
My last board meeting. I may log into the next one remotely just to
see if I have it. As a member of the public. To see how much we need.
But yes, Mike,
we thank you so much for all of the work that you've contributed and helping us get to a really good place, I think.
We need to get a document from Bruce Gibson.
We do need to get that. Yeah. It should have happened.
Okay.
It must be the lazy board chair. I need to, yeah, I'm going to have a talk with her.
Lazy.
Yeah.
Well, or forgetful. There are a number of words.
I forget about your calendar. It's just,
yeah. Not good. Okay.
All right.
Thanks a lot, Mike. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We're going to go to the committee report. Part of my report, I have to report on an event that Kim didn't even mention, staffing. Which one was that? Kim was at the Easter Bunny event.
Oh,
he even had a picture in the paper.
Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe I was trying to hide that one.
I don't know. You were right there next to the Easter Bunny, so yeah. No, I don't have anything other than that specific to report. It feels to me as though our business leaders are preparing for a very busy summer, I think, and it's starting this weekend with the bike race, which will bring 1,000 people to town. And those, of course, I'm sure have implications for our service as the town gets busier. But it sounds like we're ready, and it's a good time to have two 24-hour cars. So I would turn it to property and facilities. Lord.
We did meet. We reviewed the five-year strategic plan to anticipate what budget needs would be for the upcoming fiscal year, and we submitted that to the Finance Committee. We also discussed community outreach regarding the facility project, and we're moving forward on those efforts, reaching out to some of the community groups to see if we can get a short 15-minute period of time to present what we're thinking and to assess the community's temperature regarding a bond initiative.
Mm-hmm. And if I might add, we are scheduled to participate in the San Simeon Community Services District monthly meeting on the 10th. And we're trying to figure out how best to participate in the Cambria Chamber of Commerce meeting on the 17th. I sent an email this morning to Mel McCullough because he said he would give us time, but it's via Zoom, and our Zoom expert is leaving.
Oh, no, Jeremy and Tim.
I know what it is.
Okay, so
I'm pretty well versed in Zoom.
All right.
I live it on it.
Okay. All right. So in any event, if he comes back to us and says, yeah, just give me a thumb drive with the video and the 8-question Q&A on it, then that's that. And then I can participate because I won't be here. I'll be in New York. But alternatively, the two of you could just participate.
Yeah, I think this is not an expertise issue at all. The problem with video on Zoom, I don't know if any of you have ever been on a call where somebody's presenting something that's media intensive, depending on the connectivity of the participant. I mean, you can have great connectivity in the presenter, but if the participant can't handle the intensity of what you're presenting, then their screen will freeze, and there's no getting around it.
And if I can say about the video, I want to thank everybody who showed up to be interviewed and participate. And the directors have seen a rough cut, and there's some editing that needs to be done. But
the project is not $8.5 billion.
No,
it'll be happy to know.
Millions,
billions.
This is a soft B and a hard M.
That's right. So, it went very well, and any feedback you have would be great, and all of the corrections that need to be made will be made.
Excellent. It's going to be a really good tool to be able to share.
And so I wanted to ask, has Rotary agreed to consider this?
I have reached out to my office.
So I think if we hit, well, we've already hit Lions Club, Roundtable, and we're scheduled to do San Simeon Community Services District. We're scheduled.
North Coast.
North Coast Advisory Council. Yeah, that's right. You're going to hopefully be able to show that video.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that, yeah.
That's May 20th, I think. Yeah, I think that's maybe it's May 18th is the next one. Anyway, somewhere.
Yeah, and I've also reached out to Cambria Neighbors.
So. Oh, yeah, that's right.
So we'll see.
You know, I also realized.
And I delivered 225 flyers to San Simeon Community Services District yesterday morning, and they're going out with their utility bills. And they're not charging us.
Imagine that. It's terrific. It's terrific.
Sorry.
Oh, I know what I was going to ask you is because of the new format of Cambria CA, I wonder if, and now I look at Mike, even though you've got a couple weeks left, you could have, as I don't know if they do advertising, but at least as an article, no. you could put a link to the video embedded in an article.
Yeah.
And then it shows up in Cambria CA.
And Cambria CA, I think, either that last week or this week, last week, started having an audible version of Cambria CA. So it's very possible. Julie Amdye, the one that's helping John Borbaugh with all of that, it's very possible if we delivered a thumb drive to, she might figure out a way to embed the video in Cambria CA.
It's hosted, so you just need a link, actually.
So it needs a link to YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, okay.
What I could do is just a press release to Cambria CA.
Mm-hmm. I'd like the idea that the whole community might be able to see the video.
But not until
when it's a few not right this second. We'll correct a few things first. Okay, that's great. Okay. Anything else?
No, not for
okay. Diane.
Oh, healthcare advocacy and outreach. Well, after some really good months with Farmers Market, we felt. We went dark in April with Farmers Market. We did have a meeting scheduled, but I had to postpone that due to some really good news.
Congratulations. We do believe that something important happened in your life.
Yeah.
And what was that?
The most important thing on the planet.
My first grandchild was born.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But in lieu of that, Tim has been quite busy already with a number of events. So thank you, Tim, for showing up, with Easter and all the other events, including, the vaccine clinic and is Stop the Bleed happening still?
Yes, we have now four trainers, so we're putting together the kits to go out. Aaron Lynn has expressed interest in being one of our first people to do it, and then he's going to spread the word through the community. So hopefully within the next month we'll have some classes in place.
Great. So we will restart our farmers market every other Friday in May. And we have a lot of ideas for the upcoming rest of the summer, including possibly doing the health fair. We have some interest from outside community members and organizations. So we hope we can get that put together.
That's great.
Early fall or late summer.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Wonderful. Thank you. Finance, Bill.
We did not meet this month, last month.
Very good then. Grant, Florian.
We did not meet, but Representative Carbajal did issue a request for a submission on April 1st with the turnaround of April 14th. So with Mike and I and Iggy's help, we got that submitted.
She means he specifically asked us to, so he was interested enough with what we said to
in
ask
a,
us to.
In a community project, it was a kind of, so we submitted a request for 50% funding for an ambulance.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about $100,000. I think we requested about $104,000 from them. And we'll see what happens.
Call that good news.
Conversely, CCSD submitted 5 projects.
And?
We'll see.
It's just all thrown in
there.
Okay. Trust Funds Marketing Ad Hoc Committee.
We did not meet, and frankly, I don't think there's a need at the present time to meet until the new ambulance comes in, and then maybe we can have a new campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just say, I mean, it's an ad hoc committee, So I would say the ad hoc committee needs to be dissolved. I don't know how you feel.
Yeah, I think we can dissolve it.
Okay.
I would like to make one comment that is maybe tangentially related. Medical holding from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. tomorrow. So.
This is Cambria Pines Medical Group?
Yes. I put out over 100 emails last night about that. I realized. So, and I think it really needs to. We need to have, just as we rally the community to donate to fund, I think we need to rally our community to support this new medical practice. Because if we don't, it will go the way of the last medical practice, I think. I'm not making any predictions, but I'm just afraid of that.
Yeah, I'm very hopeful that it will be successful, but I share Iggy's view that, I mean, we all have trepidation that the only way to have a primary care doctor here is in a small subscription model, but it's just the fact. Primary care does not support itself in today's medical economy, and I think we're fortunate enough that we had Dave Griffith, very well known, willing to step up and try and within what I consider to be a very low monthly payment for primary care for those that can afford it. But without them, I don't know that this town would have a doctor or will have a doctor. And I think that message needs to get across.
Okay.
So with regards to the house, do you want a unit to go down or members of the PCC to go down and set up a table and
it's an open house in the
doctor's office.
Okay.
On the third, well,
second
floor from the basement. It's third, but anyway, yeah, it's on the second floor. So no, I don't. That would be.
It's tomorrow.
It's tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, tomorrow between 4 and 5 p.m.
Okay.
I guess I'm sure we have to be careful with how we support or promote it because we don't want to appear to be biased. But we should support any
and all
care, any and all.
Let's keep medical care down.
For example, when there was the vaccination clinic, CHC asked us, I presume, or did they ask the county?
They asked the county, then the county asked us.
Okay. If they could set up a little information booth. And they did it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do support both.
Mm-hmm.
And we have recently supported CHC. So I suppose if we could post an ambulance in front of the medical clinic. I don't know. You'd have to ask Dave.
You definitely want to ask
Dave. Yeah.
And the other thing about CHC is, to my knowledge, and I may not be current, I know they're trying very hard to recruit a physician, but I do not believe they've been able to do so. That's the problem. That is the great problem.
Once there is a physician that comes in one day a week.
Yeah.
They do have a physician.
And I have talked to community members who, and quite rightly so, swear by the CHC practice and the mm-hmm. service they get.
Yeah.
And so community members of CHC are very satisfied.
Yeah, no, it's very much a preference issue. Yeah. It's a very personal decision for people.
Their new facility, it looks like they have room to expand some of their services. They just recently announced, it was a couple days ago, I saw that they are not providing lab services.
Yeah, that's right.
Are they providing lab services to non-CHC patients?
They didn't say anything.
That would be a very good thing to find out.
I have a feeling.
It'd be revenue to them if they weren't. So it would not Ooh, no. I might call them. Because am I correct that the community just lost its lab?
Yeah,
I heard that they permanently,
to Dr. Gong's office.
Yeah.
It's part of
Sierra Vista.
Yeah. Now, the Canberra Pines Medical Group will be doing stat testing and phlebotomy, and they do have Quest there to pick up specimens. So they'll have access. They'll have on-site testing.
Kathleen's lab, Sierra Vista lab, is closed.
That is my understanding. Okay. This is a public meeting, so I'm going to roll that back and say, I heard that. I don't know if it's true. Let's find out.
Yeah.
I don't want to. Public meeting. All right. Anything? I don't know where we were on that.
Regular business.
We went rogue. Yeah, I think we'll go into regular business now. And the first item on regular business is the facility project bond program discussion. John, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Here you are. I can even see you.
Hello, hello.
The floor is yours.
Oh, the whole floor? Okay.
the video screen is yours.
Sure. So Mike and I had a chance to chat this past week and just kind of get an update on things. And he wanted me to spend a little bit of time talking about kind of where we stand, what the next steps are, and just, you know, make sure that we're kind of checking all of those boxes, so to speak, before putting something forward. So if we go back several months, you know, we were tasked with assisting you guys on helping to assess the feasibility of a local bond program in your community. And that assessment was twofold, right? There was a quantitative exercise, which was the survey, statistics, data, right? Easy to quantify. And then there was the qualitative side, which was, hey, what is the Lions Club, the Kiwanis Club, what do those other guys think about the idea? You know, you can't really put numbers on that, but you can kind of get a feel and a sense of things. So if you recall, the survey came back favorably, but not with a ton of margin for error, right? We were right around the 67% threshold, which is what is required to get on election day. So that makes the qualitative aspect, which is currently what you guys have been undertaking, all the more important, right? We can't afford to have a scenario where, you know, some key stakeholders and community leaders and civic groups say, I don't like the idea. I don't think this is a good idea. So fast forward to where we are now, which is kind of in this engagement process. If everything goes well on the qualitative side of things, and the feedback, by what I understand at least, has been fairly positive, the next step would be for you as a district to undertake and adopt a resolution calling an election. And that resolution is presented to you, must be adopted by majority board, obviously, and would essentially direct the county registrar of voters to conduct an election on your behalf. A couple of, I think, you know, key adjustments, if you will, in the program is that, you know, we updated the assessed values and we updated the latest interest rates, and we looked at the you know, the overall bond program. And right now we're looking at a tax rate of just under $10. So we're able to structure this in such a way that we think the district can get its requisite funds to complete the project and do so at a tax rate of, you know, $9.95. So what's going to be
per parcel per year?
Per $100,000 $100,000.
Okay. Per $100,000.
Yeah. Thank you. For that. Yeah, $9.95 per $100,000 of assessed value per year. Interestingly enough, in that resolution, we provide a couple of documents that are going to be you know, given to the registrar and made part of the sample ballot. Specifically, there's a 75-word ballot language. Unfortunately, the way that statutes and regulations have gone, I would say that, boy, 60% of that, you have no say in what is presented. It's all legalese. But be that as it may, we do present the tax rate there in a form of per $100 assessed value, which seems a little confusing because it's going to be 0.99 cents per $100 of assessed value. But that's just the way that we have to present it. We also provide the dollar amount, and we also provide the specific project. That 75-word ballot language is going to be accompanied by what's known as a tax rate statement. And that tax rate statement is a kind of, it's like a one-pager with three separate paragraphs that simply provide estimates to the taxpayers and to the voters who are voting on this issue. The tax rate statement will state what is the average tax expected to be and what is the highest tax is expected to be, how long the bond program is, and what the estimated total interest and principal will be. So it's fairly comprehensive. It doesn't have the limits of the 75 words. So you're in a scenario where you're able to put this forward and it puts it in a per $100,000 of assessed value. And again, provides those other details that I think are relevant for decision-making process. The final component of that is a little bit more detail in the project list. And while this isn't required, we're recommending it. And that is, detailed project list, not just 75 words. And it's there that we include a lot more specifics for the voters to evaluate. So now the detailed project list as part of the resolution, while it's made part of the sample ballot, it is not part of the actual, ballot that folks use when they go in and cast a vote. So if someone is, not so inclined to review their sample ballot, all they will be going off of will be the 75-word ballot language with the simple yes-no question. But we want to provide as much information as we can, thus the detailed project list that will be made part of the sample ballot, as well as the tax rate statement. There's some other legalese and, again, some directions and specifications in that resolution, but pretty straightforward. So that would be something that if all goes well on that qualitative assessment aspect and the feedback that we get back from you guys is, hey, things look good, let's go, then that resolution really is going to be a summary of this exercise to ultimately give to the voters in your community the program that we think they are willing to support. Same, the tax rate, obviously the project, but that's really the culmination of this exercise. So that's I guess kind of my update, my report on the topic. I don't know if Mike wants to add anything additional, if I've overlooked anything, Mike, from our conversations, but that's kind of where we are right now.
Thank you, John. And my understanding is the next step in the process right now is the board would direct me, the current administrator, to engage the services of a bond counsel, which I have that information available. Someone who's experienced in this area in this type of work.
Are we required to get multiple bids on something like that?
You're not.
Okay.
And that person would prepare those documents for the meeting before the presentation of the instructor language and so forth. So that you can view them and vote the docs, presumably, at the main board. That's the next logical step. You do have some time. It's not like we're running up against a tight deadline, but that would be appropriate. Oh, and the question has been asked previously about the cost of those services, and John, correct me if I'm wrong, but that is folded into the bond itself. So you don't have to front that.
And there's no payment if the bond doesn't pass, correct? There's no fee if the bond fails to pass.
I don't think that's true.
Is our bond trying to figure this out?
Mm-hmm. If the bond doesn't pass, John, are we still on the hook to pay the bond counsel?
No. So bond, if I may jump in real quick. So bond counsel plays an important role, and that is to assure that the bonds that are being issued meet the IRS requirement for tax-exempt bonds. Okay? They'll ultimately provide an opinion certifying, verifying, whatever term I use, to say these meet the requirements of the tax-exempt bond. So anyone who buys Cambria Community Healthcare District bonds doesn't have to pay taxes on them. I mean, that's the whole point of a tax-exempt municipal bond. In addition to that important, you know, role, they also provide us with all the legal documents that govern, you know, the parameters of the issue. So when it comes time to selling the bonds, they provide a preliminary official statement, a paying agent agreement, a bond purchase agreement, a continuing disclosure agreement. There's a lot of legal documents that ultimately you guys as a board will adopt and approve that get completed in the bond sale process. And once completed, you know, it allows the district to take the bonds from, we got authorization from the electorate to money in the bank. They also provide this kind of pre-step, if you will, that allows them to prepare the resolution in coordination with us, so that that resolution has all the right legal language, has all the right financial language, that's where we come in, and the right political language. So we work jointly with them in putting that together. So their role is somewhat limited on the front end, which is this resolution and calling the election. And then they really don't have much of a role until after an election is successful. So they essentially do this resolution, you know, on a contingent basis. So if it doesn't pass, there's no fees or compensation paid to bond council there.
Oh, I see, because most of their work is post-success, that you've already gotten a vote and now they have their work to do. I understand.
Correct. Yeah, the resolution, I don't want it too easy, but it's 6 pages, much of it's legalese, and much of it is what we put into it. It's our inputs, so.
I have a question. I guess at this point, are we going to be showing our draft video, or are we waiting until it's complete?
We need to wait until it's corrected.
Okay. All right.
So yeah, I was kind of hoping. Yeah, we did correct it first.
There's a few of us.
Right.
Yeah. We okay. Certainly could share it with John for his input as well.
Okay. So he'll be sent a link to it.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be great.
Okay. So is there an action item today on this topic?
If you were to direct me to engage in services to the bond council, that would
would that have needed, I'm usually not a stickler for process, but when things are coming before the board as action items, don't they need to be agendized as such or no?
It would be part of the E1.
I know, but when I read that, again, I'm sorry to be a stickler, but I don't see on the... It doesn't say that we're asking for action on the board.
If I could jump in, there's not a requirement to have action. If this is kind of under our purview as fiduciary and financial advisor, okay. There'll be a number of different participants in the bond process. Bond council is one of them. We'll also be securing what's known as an underwriter, rating agency, paying agent, et cetera. So it's more, you know, if in this conversation of assessment, there was a feeling that, you know what, our community doesn't want to do it, then I wouldn't go out and say, okay, let's go get bond counsel. But if the consensus generally, yeah, we're heading in the right direction, you know, a nod is sufficient, then we would go ahead and assist Mike in engaging bond counsel here. So that provides any clarity.
We can agendize that for the next board meeting in May.
For action.
Yeah, it sounds like he would have already been working with the council, however. Because I think a resolution will be supposed to come before us at the next meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I'm comfortable with what you said. I understand what you're saying. That we're not doing anything that rises. We, are, as a board, are not doing anything that rises to the level of the funds that we're doing right now.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thanks so much, John. It's exciting.
It is exciting. And if I made just one last plug, and I've already said it, but I do want to say it again, and I want to underscore how critically important the qualitative aspect is here. And that puts a lot of, you know, onus on you guys to make sure that those conversations are being had. But it will just make everyone's life so much easier. And I, when I mean everyone.
We lost your audio.
Oh, am I back yet?
Your audio is breaking.
Okay. How about
we're losing your audio, but we got the message, John, that how important the qualitative aspect of this campaign is and the role that the board can play in pushing that hard. You know, we did have a bond measure a few years back. It was the first year I was in town. And as a newcomer, and I was very interested in healthcare district, but I can imagine there was a huge lack of clarity as to what it was for. And I don't...
That was an addition to the parcel tax.
Yeah, yeah, but with just sort of mushy, it'd be nice to have money kind of thing.
That's why Bill wasn't in favor of that.
Yeah, no, I normally would have supported things like that, but I couldn't understand what it was. So that's it, getting our message out about what exactly is this for and why is it so critically important.
Perfect. Well, thank you, guys. Great to see you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Okay. Our next item of regular business is a very painful subject. You may recall that we were having trouble with the financial key indicators, the data that was showing up that would tell us a little bit more about the aging of our accounts and the time to drop a claim, the time average days to pay, all kinds of these metrics. So they have been working very hard with our vendor to get accurate information. And Simone, if you could provide an update. I know we still have a problem, by the way, with this vendor, that they've done a lot of work to get us a report that's going to be really exciting, and then the data was incorrect. And are the inaccuracies in the numbers coming from the vendor, are they the same in the same categories, or are they new categories now?
They're kind of making new categories on this report now. Mm-hmm. So they renamed them, some of the categories, but there's still inaccuracies in, like, some of them not on top of the information, but our agency information was not the census, it was just a number. And then the average decision not right anymore. So if she's going to work, we're still working on it. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of the basic things are like the date at the top, which is the very first thing we even asked for, and they didn't have the data. They're going to make us our own special custom report.
And as I recall, when we contracted with them, they said special reports would be available at no extra charge, if I recall correctly.
Yeah. Well, and these are the reports necessary to know if you're managing your business or not. And so it's not an unimportant thing. I think we've been very patient, and it sounds like Simone has worked hard to do this. I'm willing to give this another month, but I do believe that the agency, if they're not providing us this information, is failing to perform under their contract.
I had a meeting recently, you know, this has been going on for a number of months, as you know, and with little or no progress. And I recently had a conversation with respect to the gentleman who brought us on board. And I was very frank with him and said, if you can't fix this, you need to do that.
You know,
and we're at that point of frustration and advocacy that this is critical. There's a person who I was dealing with in their support team, and he became unresponsive when I called back to my original person. That person no longer works here because of issues like this. And so they did some reshuffling of people and changed their structure. And now Simone has a contact person who's very responsive. And we've made a lot of progress in the last week or two, but it's still not quite there.
Yeah, so we still don't have it. I agree.
They told us Friday the 6th. She verified manually on Monday and got back to them and said, stop pitching, and said, oh, you're right. And they're on it again. And they know that they're coming up on a very serious deadline. Mm-hmm.
What is the name of this company again? The name of this company?
I'm sorry.
MP Cloud Technology.
MP Cloud.
The software is called Advanced Clean.
I don't really know what happened there, but she said, I can't see the previous report tickets. When I told her, the first thing I asked her was the data supply, and she said, when we took over, we did not take the old support tickets. So, no, I don't know what happened when they took over. Apparently, they just rebranded the whole thing.
Yeah.
And their support is starting,
because
they have really bad support.
Yeah, so this is a
work in progress, obviously, mm-hmm. And let's have a report next month. And when you do get a report that you're comfortable with, send it to me and I'll pick mine. Okay.
If we were still in the same place we were a couple months ago, I would say it's hopeless. But like I said, just in the last week, 10 days, an enormous amount of progress and effort on their part. They're not out of the woods yet. But
yeah, that last final part turns out is really important. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and they know they're doing crunch time.
Alrighty. That completes our regular business agenda. So I think we can adjourn to closed session. Before that. Items for next month's agenda. I heard one. We have the resolution. We have the report here. Will it have been 3 months on the 24-hour crunch?
I don't think so.
No, mid-March is when it started. So
right. Oh, okay.
June.
Resolution for bond.
Tim, do you want to bring up the pay schedule?
Yes.
Okay, pay schedule.
Part-time
pay schedule. Anything else? Okay, that was helpful. Thank you for reminding me.
Thank you for
coming.
My pleasure. Very interesting. Thank you all very much. I should probably close this closed session.
We're actually going to get us to be a smaller group, so we'll probably take a little brief intermission while we do this. Have a good day. Okay. I'm sorry?
Close the Zoom.
Yes.
Close
the Zoom needs to close. Thank you everybody for participating.
The recording.
Yeah.